Good morning.
Good morning.
If you'll turn with me in your Bibles, we'll read for our sermon from 1 John. 1 Epistle of John, the 4th chapter, we'll read together verses 7 through 16. Hear then God's Word. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Let's bow for prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that indeed you have loved us before we loved you. We pray as we consider this that we would be doers of your word, that you would be honored and glorified by our lives. And I pray that what I say this morning would bring honor and glory to your name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the verses that we've just read, the Apostle John calls us to love one another. That's not too hard to pick up on, is it? Hopefully. But we might wonder, well, why is it necessary to be reminded of something like this? All we need to do, I think, is to look around at the world around us. Love doesn't always last in this world, does it? Well, the world around us is, in some sense, in love with the concept of love. It's their concept of love that's just a little bit fuzzy. You know, our movie industry makes a lot of money on it. The music industry makes a lot of money on it. You know, there's a lot of young ladies that oohed and awed and swooned when the Beatles sang, "All You Need Is Love." But what did they mean, and what did the Bible mean when it says, all you need is love? We look around us and marriages are falling apart. Relationships grow cold. Even the most stable marriages suffer from stress, from strain, and from sin. And that in the body of Christ, not in the world around us. Well, because God loves us, He wants us to love each other today, to keep on loving each other. God wants us to grow in love as we grow in our Christian understanding. And that's why we need to hear God's Word. This part of God's Word for us today, we need to learn from God Himself what love is all about. So as we consider these few verses in 1 John 4, I want us to do so with this in mind, that the Apostle John calls us to love one another in response to God's nature, God's gift, God's purpose, and God's promise. The Apostle John calls us to love one another, first of all, in response to God's nature. Dear friends, John writes, that's another way of writing beloved. Dear friends, let us love one another. That's a commandment. It's a commandment, and that in itself is worth thinking about. Love is something that can be commanded. More than that, love is something that needs to be commanded. Love doesn't come naturally to us. Love doesn't just happen. Now, it may feel that way sometimes. You know, you fall in love. There's a young lady that you've met, or a young man. When you look around, when you're with someone a lot, there's a certain attraction, and there comes a point in time that you feel as if you're in love. You only need to talk to Tim right now. And that's not a bad thing. However, feelings come and go, don't they? They can go just as fast as they came for some people. The feelings of love are wonderful. They are the spice and the spark of relationships, of marriages, of friendships, of family. But feelings can't be the basis for our relationships. And the love that John is talking about, the love to which God calls us, is a deeper love. It's a committed love, a love that makes a choice and sticks to it even when it hurts, even when the feelings aren't so good. It's a self-giving, a self-sacrificing love. A love that wants the other person to have a full, a rich, an abundant life. A love that wants to do whatever it can for others to bless them. And that kind of love doesn't come naturally to us. People get on each other's nerves. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, as a congregation, at times, we are going to get on each other's nerves. If you're around someone long enough, eventually, one of you is going to step on somebody's toes. Maybe not on purpose, but that's the bump and the grind of it, isn't it? There may be conflict. There's probably going to be sin involved in our relationships as we go along. And there may be times when we catch ourselves thinking, it would just take a miracle for me to love that person again. What she did to me, it would take a miracle for me to forgive her and to love her again. Quite honestly, love does take a miracle. Love is from God, John writes to us. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And the only reason that we can love each other as God calls us to is because God Himself gives us the love to do it with. He made us into His children so that we can call Him our Father. He has brought us to know Him. And if we know God at all, then we know this, that our God is love. That is God's nature. And if God is truly our Father, then we're going to show that family resemblance. You ever recall a conversation when you were talking about someone's child, or perhaps they were even talking about you and they noticed the chip off the old block? Or you have your father's eyes, or another characteristic that they didn't think was so good, whatever it may be. We see family resemblances in our own situation here. We need to recognize that there should be a family resemblance when we claim to be part of the family of God. God is our Father. And if He truly is, then we will show a resemblance. We are going to show love so that others can recognize that in us. And that's why reading the Bible is so important for our relationships. This is part of God's Word that we need to remind ourselves of. That's why coming to church is foundational for our life together as God's people, because we need to grow in our knowledge of who God is and how much He loves us, so that we can love one another and others can see it. We need to remind ourselves to know who He is and what God's done for us. We need to become more and more like Him as we hear His Word in faith. And the more that we know God, the closer our relationship with Him, and the more that we will look like our Father in heaven. The more we look like our Father in heaven, the more we are going to be able to love one another, as John calls us to. Well, John calls us to love one another partly in response to God's nature, because God is love, but he also does so in response to God's gift. God didn't just keep his love to himself. He showed it to us. He revealed it to us. He acted on it toward us for our sakes. John tells us in verses 9 and 10 that this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God. Notice the standard. The standard is not the love by which we measure how we react, right? It's not how we live out what we perceive to be love. Our love isn't primary in this thing. Our love doesn't come first. Our love is a reflection of God's love that came first. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's love in action. As Christians, we know that we didn't deserve God's love. We sinned against Him. We rebelled against Him. We deserved His anger, His judgment, His curse. But God's love was so great that He chose to punish His own Son for our sins. And there on the cross, He poured out all His anger, all His judgment, all of His curse on Jesus, so that we could be His children. So that we could enjoy His love. So that we could enjoy His favor and His blessing today and forever. So we see that God's love is sacrificial. God's love is costly. And if we're going to resemble our Father, then that's what our love should be like too. Yes, we are going to be tempted. We're going to be tempted to ask, well, what's in it for me? I keep giving and giving in this relationship. When am I going to get something out of it? We're going to be tempted to focus on ourselves, on our own pleasure, on our own enjoyment. At times, it's going to be hard to love the way that God loves. It's hard to guard our tongues or to listen when we've had a long day, or when we're tired, or when we're busy doing good things. It's hard to love with a love that gives, with a love that sacrifices, with a love that finds joy in the joy of our neighbor when we aren't feeling particularly joyful. Whoever your neighbor is, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your son, your sister, your brother, your friend, are we willing to sacrifice so that we can love one another in Christ? Well, because of God's gift of Jesus Christ, we can love. Jesus came not only to take away our sin, not only to bring us God's forgiveness for all the times that our love runs cold and all the times that we fall and fail, He came also so that we might live through Him. It's Jesus who gives us the power, the strength, and the ability to love. So John calls us to love one another because of who God is. God's nature is love. And because of what God has done, He has shown us His love in sacrifice to us. He also calls us to love one another because of what God is doing, because of God's purpose in our lives. No one has ever seen God, John says. But then he says something amazing if we think about it in verse 12. He tells us that God does show His presence in the world, and He shows Himself. He reveals Himself. He reveals His nature through us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. That's amazing. God desires to show His love to the world through us. When we love, when we share God's kind of love, self-giving, self-sacrificing, committed, dirt under the fingernails kind of love, then God Himself lives in us and His love is being perfected, being made complete, reaching its full expression in us. That's amazing. And that's how the world is going to see God. They're going to see Him living in us. That's how our families and our friends and everyone around us is going to catch a glimpse of God's love. They're going to see it. They're going to have to see it, because that's what God has ordained. They're going to have to see it in our love for one another, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships, in our forgiveness, in our kindness, in our patience, and our commitment to one another as God's people. But we're not alone. In our joy, in our ups and downs, and all the struggles that lie ahead, our struggles to love, we are not alone, we are told. When we love, God Himself lives in us. His love is being worked out in our relationships. His Son died so that we might live and so that we might love. So we need to grow to know our God. We need to grow in our understanding of what God has done. We need to carry out God's purposes, to let His love radiate from us, His people, from our relationships into a watching world. We need to love one another, not just today, but each and every day, to the glory of God. And that's God's purpose. So John calls us to love one another because God is love, and because He has shown His love to us, and because He makes His love complete in us, and because God gives us a promise. Love doesn't just happen. Now, when we look around, it may seem that way sometimes. For instance, it is normal for a man and a woman to fall in love and want to spend the rest of their lives together. It's a regular occurrence. This is the way that God created the world. It happens all the time. But when we open our Bibles and we read about love, when we turn to John's first epistle and we hear him call us to love one another, and then we see what love really looks like in terms of God's relationship to us, true love is self-giving, self-sacrificing. It puts others first. It's a love that goes far beyond our feelings, far beyond what we would deem as natural. It's a love that looks like God's love for His people, a love that looks like Christ's love for His church. And that kind of love if we're honest, if we recognize how deep and how strong our sin is, that kind of love isn't natural for us. It doesn't just happen. It takes a miracle, as we have said. It takes God Himself invading our lives, transforming our hearts, making us look like Christ. And that's the kind of love that God calls us to. But with that call, He gives us a promise. And John tells us that God lives in us as we live in love, and John talks about a twofold promise here. The promise of God's Spirit and the promise of God's Son that God reveals to us. He promises us His Spirit. No one has ever seen God. We know that. We understand that. But if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. When we love, when we share in God's kind of love, that self-giving, self-sacrificing love that I'm talking about this morning, then God Himself lives in us and His love reaches its full expression in our lives. And when people come into our homes, when they see our marriages, when they hear the way that we talk to each other, and the way that we talk about each other, when they see our love, what are they seeing? Well, John tells us that when they're seeing a love that reflects God's love, that they get a glimpse of God Himself living in us. They are seeing that God is love. And that's part of God's purpose for our relationships. He wants to live in us in a way that the world can see. He wants to show the world His love through us. But how do we know that God is really living in us? How do we know that we are living in Him? How do we know that we have that close, personal, intimate bond with God? Well, is it the way that I feel? Ooh, I'm feeling warm and fuzzy this morning. I'm tuned in right. No, it's not what John tells us. John tells us in verse 13, we know it because He has given us His Spirit. It's God's promise to us. And that's a much better thing to base our relationships on than warm, fuzzy feelings. By ourselves, we can't love the way that we ought to. We're too selfish. We're too self-centered to love with a love like God's. But the Spirit goes to work in us. And He changes us. And He makes us new. And He changes our hearts and He makes us patient where before we would have been impatient. And we're going to need patience in our relationships, aren't we? We're going to need patience to be able to handle each other's bad habits. The closer you get to someone, the more you know those little quirks that drive you nuts, that rub you the wrong way. But the love of God teaches us patience. Patience to listen when we're tired and we don't want to talk, but someone needs to talk. And that patience doesn't come from within us. It comes from the Spirit, God's Spirit. And the Spirit works on our tongues. And He changes the way that we talk. And He makes us gentle and kind toward one another. And He keeps us from running our neighbor down when we are with someone different than the person we're talking about. Someone challenged me early on in married life to have a look about how I talked about my wife when I was with my friends. It was a great reminder and something that I've strived to do and hope that I've accomplished more than I failed. That is, when I'm talking about my wife before others, that I lift her up. Far too often I've been in the company of people who talk about their marriage partner and bring them down instead of build them up in front of others. We do that all the time with our relationships. If we don't stop and think about it, it's far too easy. Whether it's your partner in marriage, or your daughter, or your son, or a close friend. We need to make habits. The Spirit makes us capable of building good habits to contradict those bad ones that we so easily come by. God makes us look for ways to solve problems in our lives instead of blowing up at one another and making those problems worse. And when we look at our lives and we see those changes taking place, as hopefully we notice as time goes by and God works in us, when we see the new ways of acting and talking and thinking, and when we find love in our hearts, love for one another that resembles God's love, then we can say, we have to say, it isn't me. It isn't just my own self-control or my own self-discipline or my own natural goodness. No. Left to myself, I would be cruel and cold and unkind. But we need to say that it is the Spirit at work in me. The Spirit that God gave me. And He's making me new for His honor and His glory, that others may see His love revealed. When we see that, it's a confirmation of that promise of God. We know that God is living in us and we're living in Him. His Spirit is at work in us. God has promised us everything that we need to face struggles, everything that we need to live, everything that we need to love. He promised us His Spirit. And we need to take hold of that promise to live by the Spirit's power to love one another as God loves us. God lives in us as we live in love. And John points us to the promise of God's Spirit, and he also points us to the promise, again, of God's Son. If you read carefully, you see here and understand that John is writing about his experience with Jesus. Read how he puts that. He's talking about stuff that has gone on. He's talking about acknowledging Jesus to be the Son of God. And they struggled in those days to understand, but he's talking about coming to terms with that. And what John says here has everything to do with love. Listen again to what he says in verse 14. We have seen and testified. Who's testifying? John. That the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world, and whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. But John goes on to add this, and we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. John's not just giving us some abstract theology lesson here. Yes, it is good theology, but he's talking about what happened in his life. He's proclaiming the gospel because it happened to him. The gospel has everything to do with our love for one another. If we take this gospel out of our hearts, then our hearts are going to grow cold and die. But if we fill our hearts with this gospel, if we let our hearts be gripped and excited and warmed by this good news, then our hearts are going to come alive and we are going to love. What gospel? What is that gospel? What's the good news that can fill our hearts with mature, deep-rooted, lasting love? Well, it's what John said once, and he's saying it again. It's this, that God's love was so great that He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent His one and only Son to take on a human nature, to be born, to grow up, as the man Jesus of Nazareth. God sent His Son to suffer and to die on the cross in order to bring salvation. And we need to remind ourselves, love in action, because there is no salvation anywhere else. That's how great God's love was for us, is for us. So great that He sacrificed His Son in our place. So when we acknowledge who Jesus is, when we confess in our hearts and with our mouths that Jesus is Son of God, that Jesus is the only Savior of the world, then God Himself lives in us. And vice versa. We are living in God. And, brothers and sisters, if God's love for us in Jesus isn't enough to move us to love one another, then nothing will. That's why we need to keep hearing the gospel, to be reminded of this love, so that we learn to see more and more who Jesus is and what He has done for us. It's the foundation of our lives in Christ. It's the foundation of our very life. It ought to be the foundation of our homes, the foundation of our marriages, of our families, the foundation of our love for one another. When we remember the gospel, it puts our relationships in a new light, in the right light. When we recognize that we didn't deserve God's love, when we see our sin and our selfishness in the light of God's generosity, in the light of God's love towards us, it ought to move us to love. Even when things aren't going so well, even when we think that someone doesn't deserve our love, we ought to be motivated to love because of God's love for us. None of us deserve that love. But God gives us love in a greater measure than any of us could ever imagine. So my prayer for us as a congregation today is that our love won't be superficial. That it will reflect God's love. We all need to be praying for a love that goes beyond mere feelings. A love that lasts. For a love that grows to look more and more like our Heavenly Father's own love for us. And that kind of love is a miracle at work. It takes the power of the cross to break us free from sin's clutches. It takes the power of Jesus' resurrection to give us life. And it takes the power of the Spirit to make us love as we should. And that's the power that God promises us. That's the power that He gives us when it says that if we do so, He abides in us and we in Him. So brothers and sisters, let us live in love. And as we do so, know this, that as we love each other, as our love deepens and matures and grows, God is indeed living in us, and we are living in God. Amen.